And hello again, brothers, sisters, strangers from afar, neighbors in our midst. Welcome. It's Jesus Stories, 24 stories that follow the life of Jesus. From Isaiah the prophet to the Ascension. Today, we're at story 5. And it's John the Baptist. So we're back to John the Baptist now that we've gotten through the boyhood of Jesus. So we switch back to John the Baptist and let's center ourselves today. Find that still quiet point and let it have our breath. And this should be about 10 minutes or so. John the Baptist. The cousins, John and Jesus, grew to manhood. John in Judea and Jesus in the land of Galilee. And Archelaus was replaced as king of Judea by a procurator or governor named Pontius Pilate. Herod Antipas was still the tetrarch or royal administrator of Galilee, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests of the temple in Jerusalem. Now in the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when both John and Jesus were about 30 years old, John the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias left the desert country of his childhood and went into the wilderness to preach. The word of God came to him in the wild hill country of Judea, and he knew that his mission was to spread the word to all the people that he could reach. There were in Palestine at that time two main Jewish sects who worshiped the God of Israel with a great show of outward fervor. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were much alike in many ways. The essential difference between the two parties was that the Pharisees believed not only in the written laws of Moses, but also in laws and traditions that had been handed down by word of mouth, while the Sadducees, who were the priestly aristocracy, rejected all doctrines but those of the written law. Both parties were powerful in the temple. Both were deeply occupied with the rituals and ceremonies of their religion. And both were more concerned with strict observance of the letter of the Mosaic law than with the spirit of it. They practiced all the rites with the utmost care. They prayed all the required prayers with the greatest diligence. And in doing so, they firmly believed that they were fulfilling all their obligations to God. But they were blinded by the trappings of their beliefs. And they forgot that godliness includes the everyday practice of neighborliness and love. In them, there was more pride than faith, more knowledge of the outward form of their religion than understanding its meaning. John belonged to neither of these two sects. He cared nothing for rituals and formal prayers. His only concern was to pave the way for the coming Messiah, whoever he might be, and whenever he might come, by persuading people to repent of their sins and turn their hearts to God. And so he went into the country near the Jordan River, preaching, urging men to be baptized, to confess, to repent, to save themselves through sincere repentance, to prepare for the day when God would judge them according to their deeds on earth. It was John, of whom the Lord God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Behold, I send thy messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." People came from far and wide to see this man who baptized in the Jordan, to hear his words. Among them were simple folk from the countryside of Judea, rich men from the towns, and scholars from the city of Jerusalem. With a zeal and fervor unmatched by any temple priest, John preached his message of repentance to all those who came to him. They confessed their sins, and they let him baptize them as a symbol of their cleansing. And they stared at him and wondered who he was. He was like no one they had ever seen or heard before. His clothing was a robe of camel's hair with a leather cord about the waist, and his food, locusts and wild honey. He did not speak of the small, intricate details of the law that were so important to the learned temple scribes, nor did he speak of altars, incense, or burnt offerings. His eyes burned with the light of earnestness as his tongue spoke strange words of a much greater light that was to come, of a being who would bring his listeners grace and truth and hope, of a Christ that was even now upon the earth. Word of John continued to spread throughout the land. People told each other that a new prophet had come, a new Elijah, or perhaps even the long-awaited Messiah himself. The Pharisees sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to question him. They too marveled at his strangeness and his sayings. "Who are you?" they asked. "Are you the Christ?" "I am not the Christ," he answered. "Who are you then? Are you Elijah, returned to Israel?" "No, I am not," he replied. "Or some other prophet. Tell us who you are, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say of yourself?" And he answered, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, he of whom Isaiah spoke." "Why do you baptize then?" they asked, "if you are not the Christ or Elijah?" "To prepare for another who is to come," he answered. "For there is one coming who is mightier than I, whose shoestrings I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have indeed baptized with water, but he shall baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And the people kept on coming to him to be baptized in the Jordan and confess their sins. He was glad when they came, but he was angry when he saw Pharisees and Sadducees among the crowds. To him, they were hypocrites, righteous, zealous, self-denying on the surface, but self-righteous in their hearts, and smugly certain that they had no need for baptism and repentance. And we'll stop right there for today. In the midst of story 5, John the Baptist. Hope you have a blessed middle Sabbath. Today we honored the life teachings of Sandy Dolan in a funeral service and a graveside service and fellowship. And it was a full day, a day filled with the Holy Spirit, which was replenishing and refreshing and reviving. And we can be assured, for those who know her, that that spirit, that same selfless, humble, meek, quiet, calm, funny spirit is still with us. Right here. It's in the sanctuary. It's in our hearts. Amen.